وزاد غيره على هذين تخليلنا أصابع اليدين. And other than him has increased upon these تخليل أصابع اليدين, to kind of make sure that you wash in between the fingers, and some presumably have included with that the toes. So they're saying to make sure that you kind of penetrate the fingers between each other when washing the hands, to make sure the gaps in between are washed. And this is understood to be a wajib, an obligatory act, and that is what Ibn Rushd declares to be the mashhur, the popular understanding of the school. It is also what Khalil, Sidi Khalil in his Mukhtasar, tends to go by. That said, Ibn Sha'ban, as is reported by Qarafi in the Dhakhira and other people, declares that not to be obligatory. They say that that's not necessary, which is also one of the apparent readings of the Mudawwana. And the reason for this difference is to do with what is considered to be the zahir and the batin, the internal and external aspect of something. Ulama generally do accept that something which is hidden, is batin, does not have to be washed. They then disagree on what is hidden and what is... why is it not necessary to wash the internal aspect or the inner mouth because it's hidden away, or the inner part of the nose because it's hidden away, it's the batin? That's more clear, but when it comes to matters like what's between the toes or between the fingers, there is some disagreement here, with many of them, or more of them perhaps, considering what is between the fingers to be more apparent than the toes, at least. And many people have clearly mentioned that it's not necessary to wash between the toes. So this debate rests on what is apparent and what isn't. The general understanding is that yes, when it comes to the fingers of the hand, that you do have to make sure that the water has got between your fingers and they have been washed, in general, at least what is apparent. But with the toes, that is not necessary. An interesting issue here is also of if somebody was wearing a ring, that we see within the school, that do they have to remove the ring? And although Ibn Abd al-Hakam and Ajhuri do transmit that you have to remove the ring, yet many of the other ulama transmit that that's not necessary. Imam Malik himself, the popular understanding is transmitted from him that that's not an obligation. Rather, you just leave the ring as it is and just wash over it. And that's what Sidi Ahmed Zarruq transmits from Imam Malik, and also Khalil. Ibn Sha'ban says it suffices just to kind of turn the ring around is sufficient. And many of the other ulama, like Nafrawi, highlight that especially for women, since they would be more... this would be more of an issue for them, that they do not have to remove the ring at all. What is also worth mentioning is things like gel on the hair, or hina traditionally. And although some of the ulama within the madhab had mentioned that would it be valid to wipe over the hair if you had these layers on the hair, then people like Abu Abdullah al-Qawri, a very popular scholar within the madhab, had clearly highlighted with his fatwa that it is permissible if a man or woman had substantial amount of hina on their hair, or a barrier in that sense, or gel, or things like this, it would be absolutely permissible to wipe over it. And that would not be a barrier that would be blocking them from doing their wudu. And there's many ahadith that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they had a particular act like which they called talbidu sha'ar, where they placed a kind of almost like a glue substance over the hair, which They did during times of travel, so the hair kind of stays together, like what we'd say a gel really, or a paste over the hair. And people, that wouldn't hinder them from doing their necessary wudu during their journeys.